Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. I like this. I think you guys need to work in some Bob Ross into your chat with Klatt.
We don't make mistakes here. We have happy accidents.
You think Joel is a Bob Ross guy? I brought up...
Beat the devil out of him.
I brought up Bob Ross yesterday at home.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter, who's going on 18, she's like, I love Bob Ross. We talk about Bob Ross all the time. All the kids are watching Bob Ross. I'm like, really?
You better dig a little deeper into what's going on over there at Shady Acres High School.
I'm like Lily, you maybe you need to go to more parties.
Drew.
Love the Drew laugh. Of all of our laughs, that might be the best one. I still think. Shefty's pretty good.
Shefty was deep. Yeah. He enjoyed that.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that was Barney, of course.
You see, the Rockies tweeted out that they're the only team in baseball to win a series from the Dodgers this year.
You know what? I was not aware of that, and now you've irritated me.
Yeah.
That just ruined my day.
By the way,
that is so Rockies.
They wrote on Twitter, congratulations, Colorado Rockies. You're the only team that won a series from against the Dodgers this year.
That irritates me. Now, I'm very irritated right now because you know what?
The transitive property of sports, basically the Rockies are World Series champions. They're going to hang a banner. They got a banner hang.
Well, they put one up for going to a wild card. Seriously. Yeah, that irritates me because that might be their motivation for not doing anything this offseason. Well, we took a series from the Dodgers. We were the only ones. We can't be that far away.
We're close.
Nah, I'm excited. I'm excited. Now that the offseason is here, it's go time for Jeff Breidich.
That's right.
Yeah, this is when he shines.
That's right.
Man. Woo!
Hunkered down in a room right now watching Netflix.
Can you imagine the moves he's already put into play?
Mm-hmm.
He's made notes.
You think he's got a handy dandy notebook?
By the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fresh new notebook, isn't it?
Well, I don't like to brag, but I went through one notebook. Now I'm on my second notebook of the season.
We need our handy dandy notebook.
So there you go.
Good for you.
There is a lot.
In fact, I thought of you yesterday.
Did you know?
I stopped by a bookstore to buy a book. I like reading leather-bound books.
Yes, you have many.
I have many leather-bound books.
Right.
And right near the front, they were selling moleskin
notebooks.
Exactly
what I bought yesterday.
And if it hadn't been for the fact that you mentioned to me yesterday that you had bought a new handy-dandy notebook, I probably would have bought you one. But I knew you had a new one.
You probably would have thought about buying
one. No, I would. See, DeHuff right away in my ear says, right, that's a lie. Here's the difference between DeHuff and I. DeHuff.
Mm-hmm. DeHuff.
DeHuff is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You'll own that, right, DeHuff? You own that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, that's why I don't feel like I'm offending him because he'll openly admit publicly to thousands and thousands of people listening that he's cheap.
Yeah.
And he's okay.
The only reason I buy you guys food and drinks,
you've
when
never
we're
bought
on the
us
road
food
and Super
you've
Bowls
never bought us stuff.
I get reimbursed.
That's right. He gets reimbursed. He's very accommodating when he knows he's going to get reimbursed. Hey, guys, I got this. My treat.
So the difference between you and DeHuff, you were saying, he's cheap. You are frugal?
I am not cheap.
Oh, okay.
Do you know how many times I buy breakfast? Every Friday.
Every Friday when I'm out.
That's true.
Every Friday I'm out.
That's true.
You get breakfast.
That's true. Although, you take the fun out of buying breakfast because you've been so on top of things when it comes to losing weight that you've become that guy. Like, I'll bring in breakfast sandwiches and you start, like, picking out the egg and the sausage, and you toss the bread aside.
They shoveled into the sausage!
And you just eat the protein. I can only eat the protein. No carbs.
Yeah.
Can you make this quick? I got a meeting.
That takes joy away from you? That I'm not
a little bit
eating the carbs? I'm just not waffling down the...
A little bit.
Can you make this quick? I got a meeting.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Oh! Look who's on hold. It's our pal Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatirons. Joins us now. Hello, Joel.
What's up? How are you guys?
We're doing good. We're hashing it out. You know, how can you essentially keep a team 0-for-8 on third down, their quarterback who's all world, keeping to 200 yards passing and only one touchdown, and still lose by 27? Like, how does that happen?
I mean, that's tough to do, right? You know, like that's incredibly tough to do. I'm doing Michigan State, Michigan this week, and Rutgers beat Michigan State last week. And I'm looking at the Michigan State defense and I was like, okay, they gave up 276 yards. They were great on third down. I was like, what? Like, how do you lose to Rutgers? Oh, they turned the ball over 7 times and failed on 2 fourth downs. So it's like, that's a good reason why. But, yeah, man, that's maddening, in particular when you feel like you play decent against what I would argue is the best player in the NFL right now, the best player in football, and you still are that far behind a team in your own division. Isn't it maddening, guys, when you lose this way, yes, period, but even more so to a team that you know is going to be probably this good or thereabouts for the foreseeable future in your own division, you know? And Mark, you and I always used to talk about the best quarterback in any division is going to run the division for his entire career. And it's incredibly difficult to win the division without the best quarterback in the division. And I feel like that was kind of evidence on Sunday. Even though Mahomes wasn't all world, it's just kind of a stark reminder that you're going to play this team twice a year that you're not even in the same hemisphere as far as the pantheon of the NFL.
All right, let's talk quarterback. Why can't Drew Lock see the field?
Gosh, man. It's like one week he plays pretty well and the next week he regresses. And to some extent, you have to expect this. It's part of development in the league. And yet, I think the frustrating part is that there are young quarterbacks who you can tell have a great feel for the game. They have a great feel for coverage, for holes, for what throws to throw and when, trajectories, touch, all these different things. And having the ability to make the throws and knowing when to make them and how to make them, I think are two entirely different things. And it just felt I felt like Drew played one of his poorer games that he has in his career. And like you said, he doesn't see the field all that great. I don't know if there's a disconnect in the way that he's being coached, how they're coaching him, what the game plan is, and what he goes out there and sees. But there's something awry right now. I didn't expect that, to be honest with you. I was actually pleasantly surprised at a bunch of the throws that he made against New England. They go up there and they win. And then you kind of start to realize the way that New England is playing against everybody else that New England is just a really bad football team. So maybe that logo on the side of their helmet gave us all a little bit of false sense of confidence in the Denver Broncos that they were going to be a better team when they faced an actual football team. But Drew's just, I think, Mike, I just don't think he's developing. Again, like I see mistakes that are being made that are the same type of mistakes over and over, and that's troubling for me.
Is that a coaching thing? Is that a, like, when you see a guy that's a repeat offender, And those are the guys that you just can't ever win with. A guy that makes the same mistakes over and over and over again. Is that the guy, or is that the coaching, kind of in your experience in this game? What is that?
Well, I think it can be a combination of both, but ultimately it's got to be on you as a player. You know, Mark, like it's at some point you have to, at some point you can't make the same mistakes over again. At some point you have to know that the coach is coaching them appropriately, at least to some extent. And when you continue to make the same mistake, like that's unforgivable at times. Now, again, I don't know the exact coaching points that he's being caught, you know, and none of us do. And that's some of my problem with PFF. And we've talked about that at times, in the past, but it's generally a player's fault. I know I'm beating around the bush. I don't want to sit here and just bash on him as a player, but it's the player, right? Like it's your job. And that's why in this league, guys don't last that are making mistakes over and over again. It just doesn't happen.
Here's what I wonder, and this is going to sound like excuse making for Drew, but all right, so be it, is that all during the offseason we heard, hey, the Broncos got all these weapons. They've got explosive guys. They've got speed, and they're marrying it with an offensive coordinator in Pat Shurmur who likes to play three wide receiver sets, likes to go down the field. I wonder if you've created sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy where Drew's like, all right, I'm all about going down the field. I'm looking down the field. That's my first thought, as opposed to taking the easy stuff. I found myself the other day thinking a lot about the line that you used all the time and you continue to use, but that was drilled into you by Gary Barnett. You never go broke making a profit. And I wonder, is that philosophy being drilled into Drew? Drew, you will never go broke taking the easy 6 or 7 yard completion. What's being told to him?
I don't know. That I think that's, you know, and you bring up a great point. And this has always been my problem with an offense or an offensive philosophy at any level that mandates, you know, what we're going to be about. I think that offenses have to, well, they have to be a lot of things, but one, your system has got to be quarterback friendly. If your system is not quarterback friendly, then you need a new offensive system. And number two, I think that it has to be able to attack any part of the field with any element of your offense. You have to be able to, take advantage of whatever the defense is weak in. So I'm a big believer that you've got to be able to run the football when you need to. You've got to be able to throw the ball short. You've got to get the ball out of your hands quickly. You got to be able to have the ability to play action pass. You got to throw the ball down the field. I've always bristled at these offenses that are like, we're going to do this really well. And it's like, we throw the ball down the field. It's like, well, that's great. What if you're getting drop 8 coverage? I'm not suggesting that that's what they were getting, but there are things that a defense can do that can take away singular elements of offensive philosophy. And so, Mike, I think that you bring up a good point, because in general, what I would say for a young quarterback, what gets them in rhythm the fastest is just any type of success. Okay. A lot of times as a quarterback and a young quarterback, when you're hungry for success, right? Desperate for success, any of that pays huge dividends for your confidence. So why not get like an easy completion here or there? And then you're like, okay, now you've got a little pep in your step. Now the offensive line feels better about themselves. Now the defense is not quite, you know, pinning their ears back. So, and I'm not suggesting that they're just sitting here trying to throw the football down the field, but if that's your philosophy and if that's what you're constantly trying to do, I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong. I think that you've got to do everything or have the ability to do everything well, in particular when that's what the defense is giving. If the defense is giving you an easy throw, you have to take it. That is the nature of the sport. The best players and quarterbacks in the history of the league did one thing extremely well. Mark, they took what the defense gave them. And then eventually, here's the beauty of it, Mike, the defense will unveil, will give you, will it will develop into a ball that you can take a shot down the field with. right? There's going to be a matchup. There's going to be something where all of a sudden it reveals itself. And I'm a firm believer in that, and it just seems like there's a lot of forcing it on the Denver offense.
One of the things that's concerned me a little bit, Joel, is this whole offseason was about the victory tour of look what we drafted and look how talented we are. And
By the way, is there anything worse than a victory tour of a draft that you've never seen the kids play in the NFL?
No, it's the worst thing you can do. But I just feel like, you know, and I say this all the time, talent is wasted on talented people. And, you know, the difference between football players and athletes. And this week we've heard sound from both Noah Fant and Garrett Bowles talking about, hey, we're just as talented. We have the ability and the talent. And I go back to my own days in the NFL where we never talked about the ability and talent. We talked about the intelligence, the toughness, this is how you operate. And it concerns me, kind of the narrative of the offseason feels to me like you're relying on talent and athleticism. And in my experience, that's the least thing. Joe Gibbs said this. He drilled it into my head when I was a young player. Talent will make plays in the first couple of quarters. Character and smarts and intelligence and football acumen wins games in the fourth quarter. And I wholeheartedly believe in that. And I feel like this team is sitting back going, boy, look how fast we are. You know, look how talented we are. And that has nothing to do with winning football games.
Yeah. The next time that on a Sunday, you know, Jim Nance and Tony Romo do a stand up open, and then the Broncos and the Chiefs proceed to have a combine off, and we all run 40-yard dashes and do the gauntlet drill against each other, then, you know, that'll be the first time, to your point. And this is the other thing that I think is silly, is talking about talent in the NFL. You're in the NFL. Like,
yeah.
Everybody is talented. Like, what are we talking about? Talent, right? Like, I talk about talent in college. Do you know why? Because the margin between great teams and good teams in college is really wide, really wide. For instance, let me give you a for instance. In the Big Ten alone, there are 20 players overall in the conference that were recruited as five-star athletes, 20 of them, okay? Those are 20 exceptionally talented kids, right? There's a stark difference between those five-star kids and three-star kids, or even low-level four-star kids, right? There's a drastic difference. There's whole NFL drafts worth of players between the two, okay? We're talking about first picks versus undrafted free agents. There's a stark difference between the two. And you know, 14 of those 20 are on Ohio State's roster. So Ohio State, when they say, hey, we're really talented, that moves the needle for me. That means something. Why? Because the margin between them and the next team that they're playing is really wide. When Garrett Bowles says something stupid every week, but in particular about like how talented we are, there's no margin between that and the other teams in the league. And he's not even right, because there are more talented teams than the Broncos that reside in the National Football League. And talent doesn't get you anything if you don't win football games and if you don't do the things well that you need to win. So to your point, I don't think that the talent conversation should really enter into the NFL, because look at the players that make it and make an impact. What do they all have in common? They all have this uncanny ability to just be football playing Jessies at some point, you know? And I think that's the difference between a guy that's sitting there like, hey, man, we're really talented. And you can tell Garrett Bowles. Yeah, Garrett Bowles is really talented. You take him out there and you do an individual offensive line workout, you're like, man, this guy's probably a really good player. And guess what? He's not a really good player. You know why? Because he's never applied himself or gotten any better at the tackle position. That's one of the reasons Denver sucks, is because Garrett Bowles is terrible.
Hey, the fan in you, the Bronco fan in you, is coming out. I like it. Busy with Joel Klatt, our lead college football analyst for Fox Sports. Speaking of that, for those Bronco fans out there who are dreaming of Justin Fields, you did Ohio State this past week. What's your scouting report of him?
Excellent. Excellent. I think he can be an elite level player. He gets it. He's committed. He's a great leader. He's very efficient throwing the football, and he's one of the more dangerous players with his legs in the sport. He's big. He's strong. He understands defense. He understands how to attack defense. He was 17 of his first 17, I believe, and 20 of 21 overall. His only incompletion was a beautifully thrown ball into the end zone in which his receiver, Chris Olave, went up, caught it, and then was undercut. And when he hit the ground, the ball rolled out of his hands. So basically, he completed all 21 of his passes. He's driven and focused. I've appreciated sitting and talking with him. I got to talk with him when he first got to Ohio State. And to compare that to what our conversations are like now, it's his development has been tremendous. He's a leader not only for his team, but for the entire sport. Think of what he did in order to press and get football back in the Big Ten. Thoroughly impressed with Justin Fields. I hope that he has a ton of success at the next level, and I think that he will. And he's right now, if he walked into the Bronco locker room right now, he'd be the best quarterback on the roster, and I don't think it's close.
What is it that sets a guy apart? Like, when you're talking to a guy and just the football knowledge that a guy has, especially the quarterback position, what are you looking for?
Two things, really, in a conversation, and it's first, maturity, and secondly, confidence. And they have to be in that order, because confidence without maturity is insufferable. And kind of like me, right? So, but maturity allows that confidence to come to the forefront, I think, in really positive ways. And those are what I'm looking for. And, some of the guys that have stood out to me over the years when I talk to them, Andrew Luck comes to mind. Joe Burrow comes to mind. He really, at least in my estimation, was the one now that I'll use as the gold standard when I'm doing a draft evaluation, not in his film, but just in the conversation of, like, the maturity and the confidence that he had. You could tell he was supremely confident, but he was mature enough to know that he didn't have to tell you that he was supremely confident. You know, it's just a sense that you have about him. So those are the two things that I look at.
We kind of buried the lead here with our whole visit. I got to go back to literally the first 30 seconds of this conversation with you, Joel Klatt, which you said you're going to be working Michigan at Michigan State this week. Will there be a little bit of tension and awkwardness when you talk to Mel Tucker?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I
don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't lie to me right to my face about staying or anything. Don't worry.
Is any of this going to come up?
I mean, no, right? I mean, no one wants to hear about that, especially those two fan bases. They're excited to have him. I think he's a good football coach. He's not going to be the first coach to leave like that from a school. And candidly, like, listen, as much as CU fans will hate to hear this, and I'm the biggest CU fan, right? Like, I bleed black and gold. Yeah, and
you build buildings there, Joel. You build buildings.
You're welcome. You're welcome. The fact of the matter is like, resources win the day, and they would win the day for anybody, right? Like, if there was a free agent and he got offered double at one team over another, everyone in that city would be like, yeah, you know, I get it. So I understand the fashion in which Mel left and making an announcement that he's not going anywhere and then leaving a couple days later. That rubs everyone the wrong way. It rubbed me the wrong way. I get it, right? I listen, I understand. Fact of the matter is, he's getting paid $5.5 million. He's getting paid $2.7 million to Colorado. Not a tough decision, folks. Right? Like, we all, if someone offered you double or more to go do your job, you would take it, and he did. And so, good for him. I think they got a really good football coach, and right now they're just trying to kind of build. I do don't think that in the back of my mind there wasn't a little poetic justice when Rutgers beats them in their first game. But I digress.
Right. You got to give them the, maybe just a little. I'm so disappointed.
You should just wear a CU hat in there.
Yeah, you should.
On the Zoom?
Yeah.
On the Zoom.
Yes. And with just
now
a
we're talking.
Do that and just have a little, one of those
the little classic Joel
Klatt, Richard Nine Grins of yours.
I was thinking about that. I was like, hey, how do you be a Richard Nine without, like, outwardly, being
right.
Richard Nine?
I think you wear the hat.
And I think the best way to do that, it's not even wearing the hat, is I think I should just conduct the interview as if I don't really know who he is. Like, just call him Coach. and be like, hey, can you explain how you got to Michigan State for me?
Yes.
That'd be good. How'd this all happen?
Mike, this is the nuance that you really need in your life to really complete the Richard 9 transformation.
Yes. You know, I feel like I'm at that. I'm kind of hovering around that Richard 6, Richard 7, but this is how you get to Richard 9.
You know, it would really be great, if you had like a CU sweatshirt on and go, hey, pardon me for a second, coach. It's getting hot in my room here. And then you take it off and then you're in a CU t-shirt, you know, underneath the CU sweatshirt.
There you go.
Drinking out of CU mug. I like all this stuff. This is good. Oh, by the way.
I was thinking about just being like, hey, it's been a busy week. Can you just run down your history, like where you've been in the last few years?
Yeah. That'd be perfect. Cool. Hey, speaking of gear, we know you got to go, so you can go buy your Los Angeles Dodgers World Championship gear. So we'll let you go.
Man, how about Mookie Betts?
Yeah. Kind of like him. Yeah. I kind of miss Mookie.
I love analytics, by the way. I love analytics. I can't wait till football goes to all analytics.
Dude, it's coming. I've got college coaches that are doing only analytics, and I'm just kind of like, I look at them and I just want to stab my eyeballs out, but whatever.
Yeah. Thank you, Joel.
Bye.
Have a good one, fellas.
Joel Klatt, everybody, presented by Audi Flatirons.
As soon as he said Michigan State, I went, ooh.
Totally forgot.
Good move by you.
Ooh. All right, we got some stuff to unpack there from our visit with Joel. We'll do that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Well, what a surprise. You got some people on the text line mad at you. Here's one.
Me?
Yeah, here's one.
Really?
This is regarding the media victory tour that John Elway went on during the offseason when national media loved what the Broncos did in the draft.
Sure.
Texter says, the media calls general managers for the victory tour, so what's Elway supposed to do? Say no, thanks, because we haven't seen them play yet? Come on, Mark.
Yeah. That's exactly what you should do. Hey, by the way, you think the media would like to have John Elway on now? John Elway's a huge name. The Broncos are not playing well right now. You know, it's not going well. Think they'd like to have him on? You think there's been a request?
No.
Sure there has. What do you hear? Crickets? Come on now. Say, stop it. You can't play both sides of the fence. I know that you know that you're not going to hold anybody accountable. Not holding them accountable. I'm just telling you, like, you don't think ESPN has asked for an interview or would like to have an interview, or he's John freaking Elway. Of course you would. Everybody would.
Let's see. Another one. We got a lot of reaction.
I think it's silly.
Got a lot of reaction to the Justin Turner story. All right. So for those of you who aren't familiar, Justin Turner had a false positive test on Monday.
It wasn't even false positive. It just came back inconclusive.
Inconclusive? Okay. Yeah. Inconclusive. He was allowed to play last night. And then Major League Baseball told him that he had tested positive, and they told the Dodgers to pull him immediately from the game, which they did.
Yes.
Major League Baseball told Turner to isolate.
Yes.
He did not. When the game was over, he went out on the field, celebrated with his teammates, took pictures, hugged guys, all that stuff. So that's led to a debate. Newman and Aurora writes in, guys, I'm disappointed in you. Justin Turner went on the field knowing he was COVID positive, putting others at risk. Dave Roberts survived Hodgkin's lymphoma 10 years ago. Turner was selfish and irresponsible. Was he?
Well, I think to a degree, I think everybody knew that he had tested positive. I mean, Yeah, if you want to technically say, yeah, you're being.
Boy, this is a tough one.
Yeah.
This is a tough one. I get where you're, Newman, I get where you're coming from. But there's also.
Newman.
I ask yourself to put yourself in his place. You've just won a World Series. The last 2 years, you were part of a team that lost in the World Series. You broke through, you win the World Series, and now you're told you can't be out there celebrating with guys in a time in which, let's face it, with all the positive tests that athletes have had, nobody has gotten really, really sick. I can only think of a couple offhand. I know that Eduardo Rodriguez of the Red Sox had a heart condition as a result of it, and he couldn't pitch this year. But the overwhelming percentage of athletes...
Freddie Freeman got really sick for a while.
Freddie Freeman got sick. But the overwhelming number of athletes who have either been asymptomatic or have gotten over this very quickly is so high that I can see why... Justin Turner at that point was like, come on. And I can see why probably other right. teammates and stuff, why even other members of the Dodgers were like, yeah, get out here. You're part of this. But, and to say that if I asked you to put yourself in his position at that moment, would you honestly ask yourself, would you honestly be able to say, no, the right thing is for me to stay away. Come on. Come on.
By the way, the other thing
I'm asking
is,
you to be honest with yourself.
The other thing would be you played until the eighth inning. You were in that dugout in close confinement. If the damage was there, wouldn't it have already been done to a degree?
Good point.
I get it. I understand it. I also understand, you know, from the science behind it, there's plenty of science that says if you're asymptomatic, which he is, you're not a spreader of the... Yeah, and so again, one of the problems is there's been so much, let's call it misinformation or like speculation, like, hey, here's what we think. And then 2 weeks later, what we thought 2 weeks ago is, you know, we've proven that wrong. And now we think this and and remember at first, this whole thing was just about keeping the hospitals open. Then it was, hey, the mask is only to protect, it doesn't protect you. It only protects other, like we have kind of changed, the narrative has changed as more information comes in. It's like you can change your opinion on football when you have more facts and more things to support a different, you know, what you thought necessarily is not true, you know, because you're analyzing it. And the next thing you know, you're like, hey, I've changed my opinion on that because I've got new facts and I've got new information.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go so far. I'm not here to say that I don't believe in the science and I don't believe in the people.
Me neither. I'm not saying it. I'm saying it changes.
What I'm saying is that in this situation, you make an excellent point. I mean, for the first several innings, he batted a few times in this game. He was around his teammates.
I think they pulled him in the eighth inning.
Okay, so, you know, this notion that all of a sudden, you know, now he's... He's been around everybody
right,
all this
now
time.
He's a super
but now
spreader.
He's a danger.
Yeah.
I mean, that, like a lot of this stuff, sometimes you just got to apply some common sense. And I think him being out there falls under the category of common sense. You're right. Whatever damage was going to be done has already been done, you know, theoretically. But I also ask you to look at it from the human nature standpoint. And also look at it from the optics standpoint. Look, you know, a lot of what the NFL's doing right now, whether it's fining coaches for not wearing a mask or, you know, the whole Titans thing, there are optics involved. There are optics. And there are politics involved, as is always the case. And I think part of what, if this had happened during the 60-game season, yeah, they would have told Turner, stay away.
Right.
Maybe even if it happened early on in the playoffs, they would have told Turner to stay away. But you know what was happening at that moment? Baseball had reached the finish line. And they had gone through the whole race pretty much kind of unscathed, right?
Right, except for the very first when he had the Marlins
right.
and the...
But they pretty much, you know, not exactly like the NBA and the NHL, but not far off. I mean, they pretty much got through this thing unscathed. And you know what? They were at the finish line. They had crowned a champion. And at that point, I don't think they were as concerned about optics. It's just fact. I mean, that's just, let's be real, right?
Yeah.
So, like a lot of stuff that surrounds what's been going on for the last several months, it is multi-layered, it is complex, and there are a lot of factors that come into play. Leave it at that. All right, Ramoslav.com, text line 303-713-1043. Want to kind of recap why Mark and I have been at odds all day. All day.
Yeah.
You and I have not been on the same page.
Battling head to head.
A lot of headbutting going on today, which that's epic when you think about it. My head against your head. That's an epic showdown. We'll explain next. All right. Just a final thought here, okay? We're being criticized for taking this whole COVID thing not seriously enough. That you could not be further from the truth, okay? If you've been listening at all over the last 8 months, you'd know that we respect this. We understand it. We take it seriously. We don't dismiss it. Okay? Stop. All right? Stop with that. It's irresponsible on your part as texters to say that we're being irresponsible. What I am saying is two things. One, I defy any of you to say that if you were in Justin Turner's situation, you would have done something different. I defy you. And to say that if you were in Justin Turner's position yesterday, that you would not have done exactly what he did, I call BS on that. I call BS. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. And secondly, Mark, you brought up an excellent point. The guy played in the game. The guy played eight innings. He batted three times.
He was in a dugout in a confined space. He was in the locker room. In a confined space with his teammates. Hey, listen, man. I understand, you know, I get the text, 250,000 people have died. I get it, man. I get it. I travel every week, Mike. Every week I'm on a plane. You know what I do? I wear my mask. I wash my hands a ton. What more can any of us do? Would you just like to sit in your house and chew on your fingernails and be scared to death? I don't live like that. I do everything in my power to protect you. I mean, I live clean. I do exactly what the CDC recommends. I wear my mask every time I go into public. I do all the things I'm asked to do. But I am not going to hide in my basement fearing for my life. I refuse to live like that. And, man, I understand, I understand how hard it is to win, and I respect science, and I respect all the people that tell you what to do, and I live very much that way. But again, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, get on my high horse and condemn Justin Turner. Have I stepped out of my car and started walking into the grocery store and go, oh yeah, that's right. Forgot my, and went back. Absolutely. I've done it. But there's some of you that just want to live in fear. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not going to do it.
Well, okay. But there's also the part of me is that you got to be able to at times apply some nuance to the conversation and try to apply some logic or try to apply just some human nature. And that's the part I'm talking about right here is the human nature. I defy any of you to honestly be able to stand up and say, you're right. You know what? If I was in Justin Turner's shoes, the first thing I would have done when I got that news is I would have gone and sequestered myself. I would not have gone out on the field and celebrated with my teammates. I would never have done that. I'm sorry. I call BS. I'm sorry. That just does not fit with human nature. That's all. That's all I'm saying. You and I have been butting heads, which is that's like Mount Olympus type stuff. This is like
Dr. Zeus, Professor yeah. Zeus stuff was that is, get really you, excited about this stuff.
Your head is Mount Olympus.
That's right.
Right.
So you and I have been butting heads all day because, well, do you? Let's go back to the cut. All right. It's Noah Fant. This is the crux of our disagreement. What I heard versus what you heard. This is Noah Fant. Roll it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't have a bad attitude about it, right? But I'm definitely not happy with the results that we have right now, right? It's unacceptable with you know, with where we're at, right? We want to be better than what we're doing. The statistics, the conversions, all you look at the numbers, and we're not living up to our potential, right? We have so much ability, so much talent on the offensive side of the ball, and we got to figure out how to make these things work, right? So. Again, not a bad attitude from my part, you know, still positive about it, but at some point it's like, you know, put up or shut up, right? It's time to, you know, buckle down and get these things going. As for me, as for anybody on this team, right, we have to, you know, be on our P's and Q's and get this thing turned around.
What I hear is a guy who is admitting, you know what, as a young guy, as a young offense, we probably bought into the offseason talk of we're the next big thing in the NFL offensively. We got all this talent. We got all this speed. We got all this explosiveness. Watch us go. Now the realization is coming to us that, you know what? It's not just show up and everybody's going to, you know, cower in our presence because of all of our speed. We're realizing it takes a lot more. We're realizing we're not good enough. We're realizing that it's put up or shut up time. I find that encouraging. You heard a different thing. What'd you hear?
Well, what I heard is we have ability and we have talent. And so, yeah, I love, Mike, I love, hey, put up or shut up time. But again, my feeling over there is very much like I said in the offseason, you all wanted to crucify me for it. I said, they're the Cleveland Browns. Look at all the talent we have. We're going to the Super Bowl. Look at all the talent we have. We're going to win football games. Remember last year? That's all I heard from the Cleveland Browns. And there's just a lack of understanding, a lack of emotional maturity, a lack of you're buying into, look how talented we are, guys. Look how fast we are, guys. Look how athletic we are, guys. We should be good. That's not what makes you a good football player or a good football team. It's intelligence, it's execution, it's toughness. That's what makes you good. And I'll go back to, you know, my days in Washington under Joe Gibbs. Hey, athletic ability and talent will make plays in the first couple quarters. What wins games is toughness, is character men, is great football players.
In the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter, not speed and athleticism. And I get it. Like, it's the NFL. Everybody has talent. Everybody has athleticism. Everybody has speed. That's not what sets you apart. And unfortunately, a lot of the people on the text line, and this is, you know, how I feel about the Broncos too, is a lot of people bought into, hey, now that we have speed, we can match Kansas City player for player. Now we can get into a track meet. You know, now we can score 30 with them. Do you understand how stupid that, I mean, that's just dumb. It is so not the way you win in the NFL. And I think Joel Klatt put it perfectly. You know, of the 25 star recruits in the whole pack or the whole Big Ten, 14 of them are on Ohio State. They can walk out and out athlete you every time. They can out-athlete the people that they play against. This is the NFL. Everybody gets to draft. You're not going to out-athlete people. It doesn't happen. You can out-scheme them. You can have great athletes. You know, there are guys that are faster than other guys. But the bottom line is you may make a couple of explosive plays because of athleticism, but that's not what wins on a consistent basis.
All right. I'm sorry. Last thing. Seriously. This is what sometimes drives me crazy in this whole debate about stuff. We literally got the stick to sports text.
Oh yeah.
Justin Turner. plays sports. In fact, he was playing a lot of sports yesterday. Right. Yeah. He batted three times in Game 6 of the World Series.
Yeah.
On a night that the Dodgers won the World Series.
Yeah.
I think we're sticking to sports.
By the way.
Oh, my God.
It was the World Series.
Oh, my God.
Maybe you've heard of it.
Oh, my God.
First time since the 80s that the Dodgers have won it. Moron alert. Moron. Okay. Right. On that note, we're done.
They just beat the devil out of them.
Yeah, I need some Bob Ross right now.
Yeah. It's a while.
We don't make mistakes here. We have happy accidents.
I think I'm just going to go watch some Bob Ross. All right. Sandy and the Big O coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.